Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Thank you so much for coming and spending this Good Friday service with us. So, first of all, let's start by saying this. The reality is that we've kind of got it a little bit wrong. I wouldn't say we've got it wrong, but we've got it a little bit wrong, okay? Really, if you study the early church, you'll find that this time of year, what they would celebrate was Passover. They actually, we have a Good Friday service, but they celebrated Passover. And I'm going to talk to you about why they celebrated Passover and show you the significance of how powerful this actually really is, Good Friday, and what it really signifies. So we're going to take a look at that. Let's go to Exodus 12. Verse number one, and we'll start there this evening. Naomi would have loved to have been here, but Joshua and Anastasia are very tired from traveling. And it's very interesting being 25 hours on a plane with a 1.5-year-old. Amen. I don't advise you to try it. Amen. So, all I can say is God has given my wife a lot of grace to deal with that. Amen. So let me put you a little bit in the picture. So the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And we all know the story of Moses going to Pharaoh and the plagues. But something was about to take place that was about to change everything. And when it comes to church history and the history of the Bible, this particular incident is very powerful and significant because it represents what we call the death, the crucifixion. I want you to take a look at this. Let's go to verse number one, Exodus 12, verse number one. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with the belt of your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now watch. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and again all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Everybody say everlasting. 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 So we see something extremely powerful take place. And what happens is God says to the children of Israel, I want you to take a lamb without spot or blemish. And I want you to sacrifice this lamb. And I want you to eat this lamb. And I want you to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And when the angel of death comes over and kills everyone who does not have this blood on them, they will be executed. They will be killed. The firstborns were all killed. We know the story, right? This was the first Passover. This was the first feast of Passover that took place. And every year after this, the children of Israel would once again sacrifice a lamb and celebrate the Passover. Amen. Are you guys all here this evening in Vero Beach with me? Amen. So we see this as very significant, because it's very interesting, because the reality is that the only thing that separated the firstborn, the only thing that separated the children of Israel to the Egyptians, was the blood of an innocent lamb without blemish. In other words, a lamb without blemish is a perfect lamb. A lamb that is perfect, that has no flaws, no weaknesses, if that makes sense, in the way that it looks and presented itself. So it was like a perfect lamb. And this is how the people would basically be passed over, is if they did the sacrifice. Now, this is very significant, because the reality is that we as Christians also have a Passover lamb. Now, yes, the Jewish tradition is the Passover, but we also have a Passover lamb. What did the children of Israel, what happened to them? Straight after this lamb was sacrificed and they put the blood on the doorpost, immediately after this, Pharaoh released them and let them go. And they were released out of bondage. Can you all say amen? Now, I'm getting ready to go crazy in about 5 minutes, but I'm just trying to contain myself. Amen. The children of Israel were in a terrible bondage. So it is with us as human beings, as people, that until we give our lives to Jesus, we are also in bondage. But the only thing that separates us from any other religion, the only thing that sets us free, is the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You see, it's so rich. It's so rich with history. It's so rich. And everything that happens in the Old Testament is a type and shadow. This is scripture now. Is the type and shadow of the New Testament. And Jesus is the lamb without spot and blemish for the church. The only way that you have release from the enemy, that you have freedom, that you have life, that you have freedom, that you can be forgiven, that you can actually be set free from the wages of sin, which is death, is because of the blood of the lamb. Now, Jesus and his disciples also celebrated Passover. It's interesting that John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus the first time, he made a statement in John 1:29. This is what he said. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Can you imagine? Now, we say it, but can you imagine how significant it is? There's a lamb that sets the people of Israel free from bondage, from sin, that gives them the opportunity to not be killed because sin, and because the reality is they should have also been killed, but because of the blood, they were not killed. Now John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb." What a significant statement. Amen. Paul also makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. He says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." You see, Christ is our Passover. Amen. Amen. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You must understand that in the Old Testament, the only way that those Israelites could be set free, the only way they could be saved from death was blood, was a sacrifice. So the only way that we also can be set free is because of the blood. Listen, if you know me, I love to celebrate Sunday. Sunday's the day we celebrate the resurrection, and I get all excited when we talk about the power. But the reality is, there would be no Sunday if there was no Friday. Amen. If there was no death, there would be no life on Sunday. He had to die. He had to die because the reality is that there is an angel. It's actually a fallen angel that is the accuser of the brethren. And he stands ready to destroy you. The Bible says he is the adversary. He is the one who wants to destroy you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And listen, there's only one thing that can save you. And that is that there must be blood on the doorpost of your life. You see, you have to accept the blood of Jesus. The only way to salvation, the only way that you can be saved is because of the blood. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter how many times you've made mistakes. The reality is there's only one thing that makes you innocent. Is the blood in your life? Has it been applied to your life? Amen. Amen. It's very interesting because in Exodus 12, which I just read to you now, you'll find out that the lamb had to be chosen by the 10th day of the month. Now that's actually very significant because on the 10th day of the month was the day that Jesus went into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and they all came with palms and they were going, "Hosanna to the highest." Little did they know that when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, it was the Lamb of God that was coming in and he was going to be slaughtered. What you may not be aware of is that in that time, they had to have, as I said before, only lambs without spot and blemish. What's very interesting is most scholars will tell you that at that time, all the lambs for Passover came from Bethlehem. Where was our lamb born? He was born in Bethlehem. There's no mistakes in the Bible. Amen. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He came to the city. There are so many little things that line it up so incredibly. Did you know that when Jesus died, they say it was around 3 o'clock. Did you know that on Passover, they would sacrifice the lamb at 3 o'clock? Jesus died, they say, at 3 o'clock. Coincidence? I think not. Amen. The only way the children of Israel could be set free from bondage, slavery, poverty, death, was to put the blood on the doorposts. In our life, we have to apply the blood of our Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And when you do that, you are also set free. You are also innocent. The angel of death, now in this situation, it's not the angel of death that the Lord used, but this is now the enemy that desires to destroy your life. Now he can't do it because of the blood. So the accuser of the brethren, which is Satan, who stands and accuses you, if you are washed in the blood, you are innocent. Listen, you don't understand how powerful this is. Oh, but you know, Pastor Alex, I'm such a bad sinner. Well, welcome to the club. There's only one thing that will save you from death, and that is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Listen, we celebrate Good Friday. We celebrate Passover. And what's so powerful is that Jesus had a supper with his disciples, and he did it on Passover. And he actually introduced the communion during Passover. And what you don't realize maybe is that every time you take communion, you are actually celebrating or remembering the death of Jesus. But it actually was celebrated in the early church during Passover. They would do it every year. They would celebrate and remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So on Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. But on Friday, whether it's Thursday or Friday, that doesn't matter. The fact is that we come together to remember what he did, which is so powerful, church. It is so powerful. I remember the first time we got to Vero Beach 3 years ago. We celebrated our first Good Friday. And I think there was 8 people at that service. Because we didn't know better, so we had it in the morning. Everyone was working. Amen. But can you understand how powerful it is? Can you understand how important it is? Because without remembering this day, we have nothing. We have no anointing. We have no power. We have no grace. We have no mercy. Everything comes through the blood. The life is in the blood. Amen. Our life is in his blood. Amen. 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 So when Jesus was with his disciples, it's very, very interesting. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together. And I'm going to go through it with you tonight, like Paul did. But tonight, you'll go through it with a different perspective. Keeping in mind what was done for you and how great a sacrifice it was. Keeping in mind that the reality is that you are guilty. We needed a lamb without spot or blemish. We needed a lamb that was perfect. We needed a sinless perfection lamb, and we got him. Amen. His name is Jesus. We don't have to sacrifice any more lambs. There's nothing you can do for salvation except accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And once you do that, that blood will be applied to you in your life, and it represents, like it did with the children of Israel, in your life. Amen. So if I can ask the ushers to get the elements for me, please. We're going to take communion together this evening. Amen. Now watch this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter number 23. Now keep in mind what I read to you in Exodus 12 earlier on, and have a look at how powerful this is. If I can ask you guys to hand out the elements so that I can read the scripture, and I want everybody to really pay attention. So let's hand out the elements. Please don't take the elements until we take them together. And I will drink whatever water is left. Does everybody have the elements? Does anybody not have the elements? Okay, great. All right, now watch this now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23. Now watch what Paul says. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, let's just stop there. Do you remember that what the instruction was to the Hebrew people was to kill the lamb, and then they had to eat the flesh? So it is when Jesus was implementing the new covenant, he said that when we take and we eat the bread, it will be like eating his body. Amen. And then the blood represents the blood that he would shed, his blood that would be shed. And so that blood represents the blood on the doorpost. Isn't it powerful? Amen. But it's very interesting because it goes on and it says this. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. What's interesting is when they celebrate Passover, one of the things they do is they examine their lives. They examine their houses. They make sure that they are consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. And what Paul is saying here is that we should also do the same thing. Is that when we take communion, when we remember, and specifically this communion, because this communion is different to all other communions. This communion, we remember the sacrifice in a greater measure. We remember that Jesus is our Passover lamb. And that it's because of the lamb that he is, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. We are innocent. We are free. We have been made whole. And we remember that it's not by might or power, but it's by his Spirit. And that this sacrifice is what gives us life. Amen. So we remember it. And at the same time, we take a look at our own lives. It's an opportunity once a year for us to completely rededicate our lives. It's an opportunity for us before we take the elements to examine our hearts, to examine our lives. The Bible says that we should examine our hearts. We should forgive anyone that sinned against us. We should set them free. If you read on, I'm not going to read on. I want to share with you. It is so important for your heart to be free. You have been given this grace. You have been given this life. Don't hold anything against anybody. You know, they say, there's a scripture that says that the cross is an offense to some, to those that are wise. I've been wondering so much about that. I've been thinking, I wanted to preach on that. And I came to a conclusion that I can't really give you the exact meaning. I can give you my opinion. But let me say this. One thing I've realized is that man's greatest downfall is pride. The thing that caused Lucifer to fall was pride. Jesus went innocently to the cross. He gave his life innocently, willingly. That is offensive because everything in me wants to do everything for me. Does that make sense? But he went and he gave it all for you and I so that we could have life. Just think about it for just a second. So you can't hold anything against anyone. You can't. Because you have been forgiven. You've been forgiven by a grace that is so special, that is so wonderful, that is so amazing. We don't deserve it. Are you guys out there? But because he did it for us, now we have this opportunity to also forgive. If you hold something against someone, it's your right to have that feeling. Lay it down. It was his right to not go to the cross because he was innocent, but he laid his life down. Amen. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your hurt is. I don't know what anybody did to you. I was in South Africa and I ended up counseling a young lady that went through all kinds of stuff. And she had all the right in the world to hold on to it. But the only way she would be free from everything that was holding her back, from the enemy that was trying to destroy her, was to let it go. Jesus laid it down for you so that you could be free. And in this moment, when we remember this Passover, when we remember the sacrifice that was made, it's our responsibility to say, Lord, I also forgive. I also forgive everyone that has ever sinned against me. I want to make a covenant with you. If we only understood the power of covenant, I want to make a covenant with you tonight. I want to recommit my life. I want to dedicate my life to you. Father, if there's anything in my house, in my marriage, in my job, in anything I do, if there's any part of my life that isn't right, I ask for forgiveness. If you think you don't need forgiveness all the time, you're wrong. You do, I do. I thank God for grace and forgiveness every day. I need it. I need it. Amen. Amen. So in this moment, let us all take a few minutes to bow our heads and just spend a few minutes with the Lord. Anything that you've got, anything that you want to lay down, whether it's your family, whether it's your life. Listen, the only way your marriage will be a success is if you learn to lay your life down. Let's take a moment. Father, tonight in this place, we have come together, Lord, to remember your death. Until you come, we will do this regularly. But tonight, Father, in this place, Lord, I could have come and tried to preach some great revelation. But the reality is that tonight we remember the cross. Because it's at the foot of the cross, as we look up, we see life. We see forgiveness. We see grace. We see the most selfless act that has, Lord, we will never understand it fully. We will never understand your grace fully. Why you even did it fully. We will never understand it. But we are so thankful. So thankful for that grace. So thankful for that love. And Lord, we will every year come back and celebrate Passover, celebrate the death and the resurrection. And so we are so thankful. And Father, as we ask this evening for your grace and your mercy in our own lives, we also forgive every person that has sinned against us. We release them, Father. Lord, we ask that you would just make our hearts whole tonight. Father, for those that are in this place that are hurting, that are broken, those that have been abused, those that have been taken advantage of, those that have had all kinds of hurt, Father, I pray right now that you will just cause great healing to come into their hearts. Holy Spirit, as we remember the death, it's not only life, but it was also deliverance. We saw how the children of Israel came into deliverance because of the blood. And so it is that we also have this deliverance. We have abundance. We have a success. We have a walk with you. We have destiny. We have purpose, all because of the blood of Jesus. And so right now, as we just forgive everyone and we ask you for your grace and forgiveness, we just ask, Father, and it's like a new commitment tonight. It's a new start for us tonight, Father. Lord, just take us, mend us, mold us, make us whole, Father. Yes, Lord, for we are weak, but you are strong. You are strong. Holy Spirit, have your way tonight in this place, in every precious person's life. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made to give us life. 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 And so right now, in the name of Jesus, let's all take the bread together. Let's take the cup. Jesus, you said, take, eat, this is my body. And drink this cup, it's the new covenant. And Father, tonight, as we have done this together as a congregation, as a people remembering your sacrifice that you made, I thank you for that blood. Right now in this place, I thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. I thank you, Father, that the story doesn't end there, because it was on the third day that you rose again. And when you rose, that blood, the power just began to speak through the cross. The power began to speak and set us free and gave us a hope and a future. Right now in this place, right now, if you've come here and you say, Pastor Alex, I have dedicated my life, I've consecrated my life tonight, I've given my business, my heart, my life, I've forgiven whatever it is that you've done. I don't know. I know in my own life. I just want to go deeper. I want to go further. I want to just dedicate my life to Him even more tonight, because I recognize the magnitude of that sacrifice and I'm so thankful for it. If you say, I'm also like that tonight, whatever your desire is, whatever it is you've brought before the Lord, if I can ask you just to stand tonight and let's sing to Him from the very bottom of our hearts, because tonight is a service where we just remember. We remember the sacrifice. We thank you, Father, for our Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus the Christ. And Father, I thank you that He said, even before He went to the cross, He said that all authority has been given unto me. This is what He said. And Father, He went and He laid hands on the sick and He cast out demons. And he spoke words of encouragement. And Father, He touched so many lives while He was alive. But Father, what's amazing to me is the story really begins when He rose from the dead. And He went up to be with you. And the story spread, Father. And that same life is in us now. For we have the Holy Spirit that was given to us by Christ Himself. For He said, I will send you the Helper. I will send Him, the Parakletos. He will come and He will comfort you. And He will show you things to come. And He will remind you of everything. everything I've taught you. Father, I thank you that we have your Spirit living inside of us. And Father, tonight, as we've made this new commitment, as we've made this fresh start, whatever it is, every individual in this place, Father, let us worship you right now. Let us lift our voices and exalt you, Father. Let this place be filled with the life of your Spirit. Let this place be filled with the fire of your Spirit, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will just come right now as we exalt you, as we magnify you, as we praise you, as we worship you, because we want to, because we desire to, because we love you, and we remember your sacrifice.
Jesus is the risen King with the power and glory. He overcame death and the grave. Jesus is the risen King with the power and glory. He overcame death and the grave. Oh, Jesus is the risen King with the power and glory. He overcame death and the grave. He is alive again. He is alive.
Church, let me hear you cry out to him. Let me hear you cry out to him in this place. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. For there is none like you. There is none like you on this earth or in the heavens. There is none like you. There is none like you. We thank you for the blood.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, we thank you this night in this place that your grace is sufficient for us. Father, your blood, the blood of your Son, still cries out now that we are not guilty. We are not guilty because of the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we do not take that for granted, for the blood of Jesus is not a common thing. But we thank you. We love you. We celebrate the death and resurrection this weekend with all of our hearts, with grateful hearts, Father. We are so thankful, Lord, that we know our deliverance, our salvation, our healing, our prosperity, everything comes through the cross. And everything must bow its knee to you that was on the cross. And so we love you and we praise you and we worship you tonight in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Amen. Just take a seat for a minute and we'll close. Amen. You can just put the lights on for me for just a moment. Amen. Amen. You have no idea how desperately I just want to just go for it. I just want to minister to you guys and I want to just... But it's a different night. It's a night where we just remember. Amen. And I can't tell you how good it is to be back with you guys. It's so good to be back. And I cannot wait for Sunday because it's going to just be resurrection power in this place on Sunday morning. I can tell you right now, if we're not going to have a service on Sunday night, we'll have to have a double portion on Sunday morning. Amen. So make sure you come, bring unsaved people, bring loved ones, bring whoever, the neighbor, the cat's dog, whatever, bring them on Sunday. Let's pack this place out and let's watch God move. Amen. Today we celebrate the cross. We celebrate the victory of the cross. But on Sunday, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Now you know how important Good Friday really is. Amen. It's not complicated, but it's so important. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much once again for the blood. We thank you that we can come together as a church, as a congregation, for like it was in the days of old, Father, like it was in the early church, that they gathered in temple courts and from house to house. It's so good to be together with brethren dwelling in unity in this place, celebrating this very special day. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with everyone as they go. Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful to you. Oh, we're thankful to you, Lord. We are so grateful. Oh, we are so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.